Good morning again.
Good morning.
This morning we are going to this morning we're going to talk to you about one God, one body, unity and love. There is no doubt about it, as we have been in the church for 25 years and I've traveled all over the world, wherever I go, people say who believe or don't believe, they haven't got a clue who God is. Amen?
Amen.
You know, and they definitely haven't got a clue who Jesus is. Every time you ask anybody who Jesus is, they'll give you a multitude of answers. But of course, we know that the only answer we're going to get is out of the Bible, the only place where God has put his truth. It's nowhere else. You can read a million books on Christianity, but there is only one book that tells you all about God. Creation, earth, us, the future, the end of the world, and everything else. Just one book. And so it's so important that we begin to understand that the reason why we teach and preach and have church is not just to get together and have songs and everything else, but to show our faith in the Lord and the word that he's given us. Before you came this morning, Andrew was sharing with us, he said, and we're saying, you know, Mark, it's quite amazing that, you know, that we are sort of fairly new Christians, and yet we seem to have been taught so much about the Lord. When we speak to people who have been to church for years and years, they seem to know very little. Mm-hmm. So praise God for that, and I thank you, Andrea, for sharing that with me this morning, because that's encouraging. We're going to start with a scripture from Ephesians. When you look at some of these books, there's Old and New Testament, and Ephesians is a letter from Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians church. And it is to the church, it's to the church that is saved. And if you don't know what that is, we'll tell you afterwards what that is. But it's important that we understand. These are letters to encourage, to reprove, to correct, and to give direction to every Christian church in the world. Everyone, no matter who, what they, this is what it's for. And so that's why we preach from this and use this word. So let's just read this passage. I therefore, so this is Paul speaking to the church, and that's us today. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. What a lovely bit of passage, and it's just really trying to give us, again, to encourage the church in Ephesus. Is telling them, and Paul starts by talking about himself. I, a prisoner of the Lord. Now, when we think of prisoners, what do we think of? Jail. You know, we think, oh, he's a prisoner because he's been naughty. He's been bad. But no, he actually makes himself that prisoner. He puts himself within the Lord's working, because he knows for full well he doesn't want to be a prisoner of anything else. He wants to volunteer himself to be a prisoner of the Lord. And we know that because in other books he's put, I, a bondservant of the Lord. And in those days when you were a bondservant, you signed the agreement to say, I'm bonding myself to you to be your servant. So you can see that Paul doesn't want to be anything else. And so he's telling the church that, look, I beseech you. That's a real term to say, you know, I'm begging you, I'm encouraging you, I want you to do this, to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Because we know what happens. We go to church, we learn, and you know, if you've been in church for a long time, people come, people go. That's what it's like. But he's saying, walk worthy of the calling we're called. How do we know we're called? Well, we do know we're called, because the Lord calls all men to be saved. And we know in this church that we make sure that people get saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
We, you know, we just do not want them to pop along to church and have hear a few words and go home and say, "Oh, that sounded nice, wasn't it? We had a few songs and a few prayers." It is not as simple as that. We want people to know. To know that God calls the whole earth to Him. To, for them to be, to share with God His power and His wisdom and His love and all these wonderful things that He wants for us. And it's always explaining to us what we're going to be. Loneliness, you know. In the world, they don't tell us to be lowly, do they? You know, you've got to stand up and tell them how great you are so you get a good job. And I know we're going to do that. We've got to go and promote ourselves when we go for a job and things like that. But it's so different, you know, for a person to be called by the Lord and be worthy of the calling that He's called us. Because it's really different from how the world walks. He wants us to be gentle with each other. And long-suffering, people say, "What's long-suffering, Mark?" I said, the easy word is patience. But if you actually use the word and change it round a bit, it's quite unique. Suffer long. Now, do any of us know people that we suffer long with? We know them and think, dear me, here they come again. No, stop pointing at Hayley. That's disgusting. You tell them, Hayley, I'll sort them out afterwards. Don't you worry, my love. Don't you worry. I know these people. Okay, so don't worry. And it's amazing, isn't it? It's just, this is what God is trying to do with us. He's trying to show us that this life we have is not the same as that life that we've been going through and all the problems and not knowing and arguments and the family split-ups and everything else like that. No, this is something where we bear with each other. We stay with each other with love. No matter what people do, you know, that we still love them. And, you know, and that's one of the massive differences for me in my life that I say, well, before I go, well, if you don't want to listen, please yourself. You know, bump, off you go. You know, I remember being a senior manager at the brewery, and the one person said, "Look, if you're in Mark's team, you better start rowing with him." And I go, "Why?" He said, "Because he'll kick you off the boat if you don't." That's the way life is. You ain't going to do it, off you go. But this is so different. This is absolutely wonderful that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you know, how much money you've got, whatever, God says, "I'm calling you. And when I call you, I'm going to get you saved.
Yes.
And then I'm going to place you in a church for you to be taught and learn how to be a family."
Yes.
Isn't that incredible?
Thank you, Lord.
When we look at our own families, you know, everyone's family that is not with Jesus Christ is dysfunctional.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. She's not much, you know, but it is. Our family was dysfunctional. You know, I can speak about my own family. There was four children. The elder brother and the next brother down fought all the time. I'm not the eldest, I'm the next one down. So we had problems for years. I didn't speak to my elder brother for 20 years. That's how bad it was. And we used to go and go to family. I'll tell you. We used to go to family dues and you know, imbibing a little bit or too much. Too much was probably the thing, you know. And those two brothers would normally end up outside. One dodging the other. That's the way life was. So, you know, when I talk about other people's dysfunctional families, I can speak about my own. And many things like that we did. And so it is. And so the most amazing thing now, my elder brother and I are probably the best friends in the family now. That's God. That's the teaching. That's the spirit. That's the love of God, how He changes even, you know, families. So it's important that we know that this family, you know, is part of God's one body. And we are one part, but together we're one body. And so this body has to show exactly what God has been trying to tell us. Show the love of Christ to one to another. So that is amazing, so important that it is. And he says, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? He didn't say unity of the flesh. He didn't say all that. It's the unity of the Spirit. Because we know when we receive God's Spirit, we're joined with God. But the opposite to that is that not only addition to that is that we're joined with each other. You know, does that make us perfect?
No.
Is anybody imperfect here? Come on, Joel. You can't be the only perfect one here. I'm sorry. Everyone else has made it. Joel, I'm not answering that one. Praise the Lord. It's okay, Joel. We all are.
Not one perfect.
Not one perfect, but one. Which is Jesus Christ. So that is so important. So that's an amazing, amazing start, because it tells us then that for us to keep peace in our family, we've got to work at it. And that loneliness that he's talking about is some humility as well. About telling each other the struggles we're going through and the problems we're going through. Why? So the family can help. And I know we do that. And I know we do that. And that's so important that the body works together in unity. The Lord talks about love all the time. And you know that when he talks about the Lord is one, that comes right back from the beginning of the Israelites. When God began to explain to them step by step who he was. He never called himself Jesus then. He never even gave himself a name. The beginning, at the very start of the Bible, it was called El. El. Mm-hmm. And that was God. And then it went Elohim. And then it continued after that to Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. But he never called himself a name. He called himself what his character or what he was doing. Jehovah Shalom, I'm the God of peace. So he never gave a name all the way through, you know. Lord of hosts and things like that. He never gave himself a name until Jesus came. So that's pretty incredible. But this is what God taught every Israelite to tell their children. Here we are. Hear, O Israel. This is called the Shema. This is the first thing that Jews teach every one of their children. The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today to be in your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Isn't that amazing? So we know where this comes in the New Testament. It's not just the Old Testament. The Old Testament is our teacher to tell us for the better testament that's to come. And that's the one we're in. It's so important, because don't forget why God gave them this. Because there was that many gods in all the other nations that he had to make sure that the Jews understood that he was one God and all those were false gods. Next slide, because right. So this is what we've had from the Shema. So from that original prayer, this is where Jesus said this. So when they asked him, when they turned and said to him, Jesus, when they asked him, said, Jesus, what's the great commandments then? What are they? And this is what he answered. And it's quite fascinating, isn't it? Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So straight away he used the Shema from the very beginning for what he told the Jews. For us, as Christians now, as New Testament Christians, exactly the same. Why? Because we're part of them. We're still the believers in that one God. So this is, and of course, this is the first and great commandment. And we've done this before. That I've turned around and said, you know, if people say to me, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven, I say, well, God asks us to actually follow his word. He said, well, I do, I'm good, and I help people, and I'm nice, and I don't blaspheme, and etc. And I said, can I just ask you one question? Do you do this? Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And those people will go, well, no. So straight away, you see, this is the first and great commandment. We have a duty to love one another, every Christian and every believer, to make sure they do this. So this is important. But the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's hard. Everyone love everyone?
No,
David. Well done, David.
Try.
Brilliant. That's even better. Well, guess what? God empowers us through His Spirit to love even those that we don't want to love. Anybody got people that irritate you? I tell you what, I'm going to film this.
Did you all point at Mark then?
No.
Please point at me again.
Oh, that's.
Thanks, see,
isn't that lovely that they point at Mark?
I was going to see Ben, that's fine.
Don't worry, you'll have a blessing.
But it is so important. I know Andrea has said that people sometimes don't like what other people say. But you know, it is so important. I know I'm irritating. And, you know, and it's, you know, it's quite amazing that the things that people say to me, like, you know, like, I hated you when I first met you.
Okay.
Yes, that was you, Andrea.
That was you, Andrea.
Yes.
And after a few weeks, I thought you were such a know-it-all.
Julia, that was going through my head as you said it.
And it's okay, because I'm just trying to show you a great example.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lady that, you know, fought tooth and nail, had amazing problems and everything else, and I had to love her. Even though she was
trying.
She was very trying.
Still is.
But that. It's a great example, and that's why I've used that. I'm glad she said that. It is a wonderful example of how God can change a selfish man who didn't care a tap about anybody, that would tread on anyone to get on, that stole, cheated, and lied, and would allow him, no matter what anyone said to him about his character and his personality, that you could still love them, knowing that they're going to be okay.
Yes,
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Lord.
And His Word. That's an amazing. So thank you, Andrea. I know you thought you had been funny, but it was great. Thank you for your help in the service.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Can I just read this, Mark, as well, please? From Ephesians. It's obviously Paul who wrote it, yeah. And to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So even Paul, a great apostle, counted himself as lowly amongst the
Gentiles. Amen. Absolutely. So it is important on these two commandments, hang all the law. So this is it. This is that love. This is that love that he's talking about, and that unity. And
my daughter's.
And this is so important that, you know, that we've got to understand. It is. It's a love that we don't understand. You know, the greatest love that we've got is, you treat me okay, and I'll treat you okay. That is got to be the greatest love we've got. And I know we've got that emotional love as well, that you feel attracted, but that doesn't last forever, does it? Us old ones will tell you. It doesn't last forever. It's a fantastic feeling when you're attracted and you fall in love, and then 40 years later, it's a different love, isn't it? It's a different love, you know. I do love my wife. I look at her sometimes and I'm so thankful, and I'll go over and give her a hug and give her a kiss and just tell her I love her. But it's not that same love when you go, right, I'm going to see Linda in a bit. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Okay. It's different. It's different. It's, you know, when I've been on a trip and I come home, I am so glad to see you. See my wife, it's a different kind of love. But it's enduring. And it's the same with us, that, you know, with other people now. That God fills us with this power and this love for others, to see that people are hurting. People are disappointed. People are lost. But people don't know they're lost. Come on, let's be fair. They they just think they're living their life like we were. We're just living our life, doing what we've got to do, getting up, going to work, washing up, whatever it may be. We just live our life. We don't think too much about death or anybody else or anything else. We just live. Is that fair?
Yeah.
But this changes us. This changes us to start looking at other people and trying to see that, you know, how can we help them? And somebody says, well, Mark, how do you do it? And I said, well, it's very simple. Number one, I have to listen. But number two, I have to make sure that we give them the word of God and not what we think. Because the word of God will heal. And our prayers will heal them. And those don't. It's so important that we go by the word of God. Now what happens with a lot of churches, they start making their own things up, and over the centuries, such a lot of tradition has come into the church. And I'm just going to give a little bit about tradition, so you really have to make sure that we use the word of God and don't use things what people have said. Tradition. Mark 7, 9 and 13. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. And this is Jesus speaking to the Jews, to the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish nation, of their religious instruction. All too well you reject the commandment of God. So what was they doing? They were following their own traditions. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down. Isn't that amazing? So when we look at church and we look at what they do, we've got to check, is this right? One of the greatest things that the churches did was change the baptism. All those centuries ago, the second century, and they had these meetings and they stopped fully immersing and started sprinkling water. And look at that now. The church calling there, it's doctrine. You've got to do it this way. Yet the Bible is different. It's full immersion. So, you know, why can't they see it? Because they would rather follow the tradition of man than follow God. It makes the word of God of no effect. So if you believe that this is God's word, it makes the word of God of no effect. So the opposite to that is that the word of God is quick and powerful for dividing soul and spirit and bone and marrow, and is discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. The word affects us. And you know, and it affects us the worst when we pick on sin. What we haven't done. The guilt and everything else. But God doesn't do it to hurt us. He does it to show us, to build us up. To show where we can get more blessing. And the next one is another tradition, 1 Colossians 2, 8 and 10. Beware! You know, if you see danger sign, you know, you shouldn't go by it, should you? Danger, electric cables, it'll kill you. Yeah? Well, we ought to put that in the Bible. Danger, the lightning bolts of God's going to come down and kill you. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Philosophy is man's thinking, don't forget. And empty deceit, empty lies, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You see, Christ wouldn't have had to make the Bible if God didn't know we were living wrong. Is that fascinating? And people say, well, I'm not living wrong. Well, Sit with me for a while and we'll see if you're living according to God. Because God created us. God gave us this life, and the Bible tells us that he gave us this life that we should seek him. And in Acts 17, 26, I think he says that we should seek him. And he says that we grope for him. Isn't that amazing, that word grope? Yeah. We use it when we say we grope around in the dark, don't we? Because we can't see. Isn't that amazing that we'd use that word? Because all these people who don't know Christ are actually groping in the dark. Yeah. Because they think they're on the right track. But we know we're on the right track because we're now following what God is asking us to do. And we change, don't we, Louise? And we didn't think we were going to change. And we didn't know that we were in problems. And we didn't know what was wrong. But as soon as we begin to learn and We see it. Why? Because we've sought it. We've stopped groping in the dark. The light of the gospel has shone in our hearts, enlightened our minds, and we know that, dear me, this is real. And of course, when we get saved, it just starts us on the right track. For in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of principality and power. When we start to follow Jesus and get saved, we're complete in him. He's now beginning to teach us day by day. And as we come to Bible studies and we learn, and you've just heard that Kevin's going to do his first teaching, God bless him, that's the growth. That's the growth that God wants. And I promise you, when you start to teach, Kev, the scripture will come alive and you'll learn 20 times more than just listening. It is amazing. So that's why I encourage everyone to teach. And of course, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's that love of Christ that we've got to have. To keep what he tells us. Not to listen and go, oh, that sounds great. Yeah, I understand that. Don't do it. Because we've got to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. So that's important. This is an absolutely marvelous scripture, this is. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What a beautiful statement. You know, you read your Bible, you know, and that's never really come out to me, but you know, when I was studying, I thought, well, this is beautiful. He's actually, because of his teaching, he gives us the understanding. And because we ask questions, Kevin.
Yes.
It means that we get answers and our understanding increases. We know him as true. Remember what true means?
Complete.
Perfect.
Perfect and complete.
Perfect and complete. And that's what Jesus said he was. And we're in him. We're in him. We're in Jesus Christ. His Spirit has filled us. He's all around us. That Spirit of God is all around us. And we know. And so he gives us this understanding that we have. He gives us the understanding so we know. Not a guess. We actually have the knowledge now who God is. And that's so important for all of us. Okay, next scripture you can do now. Thank you, darling. But this is that bit now that God wants us to understand. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Remember that? Remember what we talk about? That, you know, heaven and earth is... the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And God wants us to have his joy. He even tells us we can have joy unspeakable, which is quite amazing. But here we go again, the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. But you know, we cannot do that in our church family. We can't do it outside.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why we get together for that unity and love one another and teach one another and question and grow together and get people on the truth revealed and send Mark some names. Hallelujah. You talk about being irritating. Guess who's the irritating ones here? Please put your hand up. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. Come on. Where's the honest ones? David? David's got to repent. He's the only one that hasn't put his hand up. He thinks, oh, I'm not going to be guilty. You're guilty. It's okay. Being guilty is okay. I can't understand people, you know, being embarrassed. If you haven't done it, you're guilty. Amen?
Amen.
And the punishment is, no. Please. Just so we can pray. It's just that little bit of momentum that we need to do it. Do you understand? That you love one another. As I have loved you, Jesus said. That That's amazing. But look at this, this is beautiful. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And it's not that you've got to kill yourself, so don't worry about that. But it's actually putting others first. It's actually going to help others rather than helping yourself first. That's a great love. Spending your time helping other people rather than just doing what you do for yourself. That's that love of Christ that he puts for us. Isn't that a marvellous thought? What can I do for you? No, what can you do for me? Amazing. This is what Jesus said. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you, and that's what he's doing. He's teaching us week by week all the things that the Father has told him. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Isn't that? I love this. God chose you. Isn't that incredible? Are you special?
Yes.
No answer of special needs, please, Andrea. We're special. It's not, I love it. You know, it's not. And this is not boasting I'm special. I'm just telling you what God thinks I am. Isn't that a wonderful? And you know, one of the most incredible things, you've got to be so thankful for that God chose you. He called you, and you answered. And that's why you're where you are today. In a better frame of mind and a better course. And yes, problems are still there, but now you've got God on your side. But you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. So this is your appointment. Hello. Your appointment. You should go and bear fruit. You know, you see, this shows the love of God from us. God loved us and saved us. God has given us so much. He's telling you can have joy and peace and everything else. But now he's turned the table on us and saying, this is my appointment for you. Go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. So if we go and bear fruit, what does he do for us? You see, God is a great negotiator. He doesn't just say, you do all this for me. You do it for him and he blesses you. And guess what? His blessings on you are far greater than what you can give to him. It's lovely, isn't it? No, go back up one. I've just got to point this one little bit because this is so important. So we go and bear fruit. Can you read that? Or is it too light?
Too light.
Too light. Okay, I'll speak it then. I chose you and appointed you that you go bear fruit. And we all know what the fruit is, don't we? It's souls. It's people coming into the kingdom. And that your fruit should remain. Listen to the brilliant bit at the end. So once we do that, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Isn't that a deal? But there we go again. It means we've got to put ourselves out. So when we say we love God and we're going to do the things that God wants us to do, we don't put ourselves out. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus Christ, God created that man, Jesus Christ, to die for us. So we could know God and all these wonderful things. And yet we won't lay a bit of our life down to go and speak to someone, to witness to them, so we can get them and teach them and get them saved and bear fruit. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is why I'm blessed. I know this. And when I said that, I said, this is a deal. I looked at it as business, okay? Not the love of my first one, I looked at it as business. Okay. If I go and do that, God said I can have whatever I ask. Let's try it. So what did I do? Well, you've heard what Linda said. I talked to everyone that I meet about Jesus Christ. I don't care who they are. Whether it's the Prime Minister.
And he has.
Amen. It is so important. I don't look at people. I respect people. I respect the positions. But I've got to talk to them about Jesus. And if they don't want to listen, go God bless you. I know who's blessed. I know who's blessed. So it's important that we do this. This is that love of Christ. This is us working as a family, working with God, working together to bear fruit for the church, and God then really just can't help himself but bless us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, important. One last one is unity one. All the things that the Bible does, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the scriptures, the all the gifts of the Spirit, everything about it is for us, for equipping us, the saints, for the work of the ministry. And so that ministry is definitely part of in bearing fruit, and of course it's teaching, it's loving one another, it's helping, it's giving, it's all those other things. But this is fascinating. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. All. So, you know, us working together, our faith should keep growing. We get growing and growing and growing, so we're always unified. We can be just like the apostles then, when they were on the day of Pentecost, where they were all of one accord. And the Holy Ghost come, you know, like a mighty rushing wind came and appeared upon them. They all were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's that unity of the faith that we can have. And let the presence of God be with us wherever we go. But also, and the knowledge of the Son of God. Because people don't know who he is, they don't know what to do. So that is also part of our unity, making sure each one of us know who the Son of God is, what he came for, what we can do with him, what can happen, etc., etc. Why? So we can be more mature to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you know we can keep changing? And it won't stop the jokes. No, I'm sorry, Louise, you'll still say the same jokes, you know, and we still pretend to laugh. Just to love him. Hallelujah. But it doesn't change us that way. It changes our outlook on everything. That's the beauty of this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, last scripture. This is us now. This is the character. By the way, don't worry about the light. Here's the colour coding for the blinds. And the ladies picked the dark blind, and we're putting blinds down there. Hallelujah. And we're paying for it. This church is paying for it because they can't afford it. So then you won't get blinded when you're sitting on that side. Hallelujah. I just thought it was the Son of God shining on the righteous. Hallelujah.
Okay. I'll go
get that one. Okay, character. This is us. So all this love and unity is to provide this new life for us. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, isn't that beautiful? We're God's elect. And holy and beloved. That's what he's making us. A holy people and beloved, loved by him. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness and long-suffering, and bear with one another, and forgive one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And then let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. Be thankful that the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God Father through me. That's the character he's going to make in each one of us beautiful. Shall we stand?